Aaron, it's great to have you with us here on the program. And boy, few people we've had on the show have come with better recommendations. Two of my favorite people to talk with and favorite songwriters, Roseanne Cash and Radney Foster, both said, oh, you got to talk to Aaron Enderlin sometime.
That is insane to me, but I'll take your word for it.
And the story with Roseanne, let me trace this back. Was it Danny Kahn, her manager, who gave her your album and then everything that led to?
Yes, it was. Very kind of him.
Yeah, and then the next thing you know, some guy named Elton John wants you on his radio show.
Yes. Pretty wild. She emailed, I believe she just had the one-namer in her email. She said, do you mind if I send it to my friend Elton?
Which Elton is that? What was that experience like being on his show?
It was really great, you know. It was kind of, I thought that there would be like somebody to kind of like warm you up when you called in and you'd have a second to collect yourself, and I called and it was just Elton John on FaceTime, which was kind of wild, and I feel like I probably sounded like half an idiot on there, but it was really, really cool to get to do that. And I think my dad finally forgave me for scratching his Goodbye Yellow Brick Road album. So it's a win-win.
There you go. Well, you grew up in Conway, Arkansas. And, of course, any true old-time country fans know the role that Conway, Arkansas played in country music history. I think that was one of the two towns that old Harold Jenkins picked out on a map. And, oh, Conway, Arkansas, Twitty, Texas, I've got a new name.
Yep. And I think it worked out pretty well for him.
I would say so, yeah. What kind of music did you listen to when you were a kid growing up there?
I listened to old country a lot from early on. I mean, I actually took a Conway Twitty record to show and tell in kindergarten. Waylon and Willie, Conway, the Statler Brothers, and Kenny Rogers were my first albums. Of course, Johnny Cash. And very quickly, I got into Reba McEntire, and that was just like, hold on, this is what I need to do forever. And, you know, I love Dolly Parton and Trisha Yearwood and Susie Boggess, Terry Clark, Matresa Berg, Gretchen Peters. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
But you're naming off all my favorites there. Were you like me? Were you one of those kids who sat there and read the liner notes and wanted to know who all the songwriters and all the musicians were?
Oh, 100%. I remember, like, you know, getting in trouble a couple of times because I would get a new record and I'd come home and I'd just tune out everything because I'd be reading through all the notes and, you know, somebody would call for dinner or to do something and I was like, no, I can't hear anything else until I have input all this information into my brain.
How old were you when you first started playing?
Well, my parents tell a story about being out at a restaurant called the Cock of the Walk when I was three, and there was a performer on stage, a blues musician, and apparently they turned around for a second, and I had run up on stage and was trying to take the microphone. and then when I was five, I started taking piano, and I was that kid at 10 years old bringing songs into music class to play for my classmates who were, you know, thank their hearts, they were very encouraging. And so I don't remember a time that music wasn't a huge part of my life.
Well, it made perfect sense for you then after high school to go someplace like Middle Tennessee State to study recording arts technology, but also that proximity to Nashville didn't hurt either.
Oh, yes. You know, it was great. I got to go for in-state tuition, actually, because they have a program with Arkansas, and it was a great experience, you know, to meet other folks that were as excited about music as I was, and I got to, I mean, country music history was my favorite class. I took it three times. And, had a lot of fun and just started to go. I mean, you get so spoiled in Nashville because everywhere you turn, there's just incredible music. And, you know, I think Emmylou Harris said the best way to study music is to, you know, turn it on and turn it up. And I definitely got to do a lot of that, from singer-songwriters to artists, stadium tours, everything. I mean, you can just watch great music every night if in Nashville.
Yeah, and of course, everybody out there playing live. And I remember years ago when I was still a young radio guy, I was down there on a trip and went to a songwriter showcase and saw this young guy who was still calling himself Randy Trawick at the time. And I thought, this guy's pretty good.
He's all right.
He's done well for himself out there. Well, and you did too. This was not the normal college experience for folks. Your senior year at college, Alan Jackson recorded your song Monday Morning Church.
Yes, he did. And if that wasn't good enough, he had Patti Loveless in harmonies with it.
I love the story too. You were a tour guide at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and it reminded me, I think, our friend Kathy Mattea, who was a tour guide at the Grand Ole Opry before she made it big.
Yes. I loved it. I could go and do, I did school kids tours, and they were from 9 to 10 in the morning, so I could come and do that and then just bop over to Music Row to write. And I just thought it gave me some structure after leaving college, but also I just loved the way the kids looked at the music, you know, and I think it maybe put me in a different frame of mind to go write songs then, because kids, you know, they just love what they love, and they would say some of the craziest things sometimes, or start breakdancing to Dwight Yoakam or something. And that just made you smile and made you remember why you fell in love with music.
And then flash forward not too many years, and you're part of an exhibit at the Hall of Fame.
Yes, I was lucky enough to, we're very honored to be included in the American Currents exhibit in 2020 in their Unbroken Circle segment, where they pick five artists every year and they pair them with one of their biggest inspirations, and I got paired with Reba McEntire, which was pretty amazing. And so I got a picture of myself at 16 standing next to Reba's dress in the Hall of Fame, and now I have a picture of my outfit next to Reba's outfit in the Hall of Fame.
2013, you recorded, released your album, I Let Her Talk. I think, three songs on that album that end up being recorded by other artists?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Is that a situation where, you know, once that first one is out there, once people hear Alan Jackson, they go, well, that's a great song. Who wrote that? Oh, Erin Enderlin. Let's find out more about her.
Nashville is definitely a small town, and I do think that people, they start to know names and the sound a writer has. And I was lucky enough to have a great publisher from the beginning, Jeff Carlton, who really worked to brand a writer and promote a writer as a whole, not just for the song, so that you did get that kind of thing where people would ask for my songs.
Your second album, Whiskey Town Crier, did I read somewhere that it took you a while to make that album?
Yeah, it actually got released almost 10 years after I recorded it, 8 to 10 years. And I recorded that and most of my Faulkner County album actually all at the same time. But then to do all the things I wanted and to find the right way to put it out there and everything, it took me a little bit longer, but I think it was the perfect timing because I kind of had a little better idea of who I was. I was a little more confident performing wise, and I don't know, it just felt like that's what was meant to be.
And then the Faulkner County released in 2019, and it was a song from that album, Queen of Marina Del Rey, that first came to Roseanne's attention.
Yes, I was thinking in that song, if I was out playing a show, who would I be most intimidated to see in the artist in the audience? And I thought, well, Roseanne Cash, because, I mean, you know, she's such a well-rounded and consummate performer. You know, she's straight ahead radio top 40 or something that makes you think about something for days. She does it all. And I just love her writing and her artistry. And so I was just thinking, man, you know, if she was out there, I would sure hope that she would like the songs I was singing.
Well, that album is the album that introduced me to your music, and then I went back and heard the others. It's such a great album. I love Whatever Gets You Through the Night. That one, that's a two bourbon song right there.
Thank you so much. I wrote that with my buddy Jimmy Melton, and he is just awesome. He's one of my favorite writers, and it's just a good old country song, you know. And I got to slip a little Barbara Mandrell reference, the keys in the mailbox in there, too. So that's my little Easter egg.
Sweet Emmy Lou is another fantastic song from that album.
Thank you. Rory Feek wrote that, and he's just an incredible writer. And Emmy Lou Harris is one of my favorite artists, too. I'm actually staring at a giant painting of her Cimarron album that my friend Buddy Owens did right now.
And I love your cover of the old, I think Joe Sun did it first, but Dolly had a big hit with it, Old Flames.
Yes, and Dolly's where I heard it. And I did the record with Jim Moose Brown and Jamie Johnson, and Jamie was like, I want you to pick a couple of songs you'd never want to cover because you'd be too intimidated, you know, or whatever. And I said a couple of songs, and he was like, okay, we're going to cut those. I was like, oh, my God, okay.
So many people have recorded your songs that you mentioned. Reba, she did The Bar Is Getting Lower in 2019. But how great was it to have a guy we've had on the show, maybe the nicest person in all of music, a whispering Bill Anderson, do your song?
Oh, man, I am such a huge Bill Anderson fan, both musically and as a person. I met him for the first time when I was 16 at Fanfare, and I had a Trapper Keeper with all the songs I'd written in a backpack going around, and I went up to his line, and I said, when I grow up, I want to be a songwriter like you, Mr. Anderson. And he said, well, have you written any songs? And I was like, yeah, of course, I've got them right here. And he's like, well, then you already are a songwriter. And I've gotten to write with him some here, and he's just, man, he works so hard, and he's such a great storyteller.
He is wonderful. We had him on a couple of years back, and I said I had interviewed him when I was very new in radio, when I was in my 20s. And I told him, I said, well, where you been? What's taking you so long to get back to me? This year you came out with your latest album, A Barroom Mirrors. Well, they do tell the truth, don't they? What a great album it is. And Somebody Shot a Whiskey, that just says it all.
Thank you very much. My dad hates it when I tell the story, but my granny, I love her so much. And she was just the perfect person, you know. She worked hard all her life, took care of kids, helped run a farm, all those things. And when she turned 80, she started liking a little bit of Jack Daniels. And I think when you're 80, you should do anything you want to do. And sometimes I'd go over to the house and I'd see some shots of Jack Daniels lined up in the fridge. And I finally asked her, I was like, Granny, why are there multiple shots of Jack Daniels in the fridge? And she goes, well, honey, they get harder to pour after the first one.
That's a great story. I love that. You also got a couple of your heroes to record on that album, too. Roseanne doing Cut Through Me and the great Terry Clark.
Yeah. Yes. Man, I don't know. I say all the time I feel like a kid in a country music candy store, but it really, it's incredible to get to work with folks that you grew up listening to and you admire so much.
One of my favorite lines is on one of your songs on Barroom Mirrors. Seems like I only show up here for holidays and acts of God.
Thank you. I wrote that one song with my friend Stephanie Lambrine, and she is an incredible artist and writer.
Well, and then, as if enjoying Barroom Mirrors wasn't enough, just a few days ago, you released a brand new single. Tell us the story of this wonderful song, A Horse Named Christmas.
Yeah, I love Christmas music, and my friend Kimberly Kelly and I, we're getting together to write. We're doing a Christmas in July, writing a bunch of Christmas songs, and I had this idea of A Horse Named Christmas. I was trying to think of some kind of ideas that I love classic-sounding Christmas songs, and I don't know where exactly I got that idea, but started talking about it, and we were both talking about how we both grew up getting to ride horses, and I rode a horse named Pumpkin who seemed like he was, you know, 100 feet tall, and he was kind of cranky, and if you put on his saddle and you didn't move fast enough, he'd nip you just a little bit, but I loved him, and just felt so much peace and love, and it's just a really special bond with a horse, and Kim grew up with a horse named Lady, and so we're just swapping stories, and we came, upon this idea for a story of a younger kind of preteen girl who finds this magic horse that kind of just really connects with her and maybe brings her out of her shell a little bit.
Well, it paints such a wonderful picture, and it's got that timeless quality that I think all great Christmas songs have.
Thank you very much.
Well, what's ahead for you in 2024?
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to a lot of things. Well, I've got Willie Nelson cut one of my songs, and it's going to be coming out in April.
Wow.
So I'm pretty excited about that. Willie, that was the first song I learned to play was On the Road Again. And I've been lucky enough to get to do some shows with Willie, and he's just incredible, and I got to hear the song the other day, and it just, I think I'll just introduce myself from now on and say, I'm Aaron Enderlin. Willie Nelson sang one of my songs.
That would be enough. That would be a nice resume for a career right there. That would do it.
Yeah. And I'm going to be touring a lot more. I've been working on writing a bunch, just kind of trying to formulate the basis for that next record. And I've gotten to be a part of a couple of really cool things lately. I got to do an interview for a new documentary that's being done about Cindy Walker.
Oh, wow.
That, if you're not familiar with her, she's an amazing songwriter. She's just a monster of a songwriter and such a fascinating character. Willie Nelson did an entire song of just Cindy, album of Cindy Walker songs. Folks definitely need to check that out because it's going to be really cool.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Well, it's been a real treat for us to get to talk with you here on the program. Love your music. Your writing is some of the best out there, and look forward to more music coming up in the future, and hopefully can catch you on the road sometime in the next year.
Yes, I would love that.
Well, thanks so much for being with us, Aaron.
Thank you for having me.